And this would be quite a new idea, especially to this culture, the idea of redemption and salvation through this man who is God in the flesh, Jesus.
That's right.
Welcome to In Grace with Jim Scudder Jr. He is the senior pastor of Quentin Road Baptist Church in Lake Zurich, Illinois, as well as the host of In Grace Radio and TV.
Hi, this is Jim Scudder, and today we're going on an adventure. We're going to take you to Israel, and we're going to talk about the cities of the Decapolis. What are they? Why are they in the New Testament, in the Gospels? Why did Jesus send his disciples to some of these cities? And we're going to give you an audio tour of two of them, two of the cities of the Decapolis. One is the city of Bethshan, and the other is a city up right on the Sea of Galilee. It's on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, up on the hills. It's on a saddle, and it's actually hippos, which means saddle in Greek. And we're going to take you on a tour of these two cities today with Dr. Scott Stripling. He's a friend of mine. He's an archaeologist. He's a man that really knows his stuff, and he's going to connect these cities, these ancient cities, to us today and how we can be used by God, used by the Holy Spirit to bring light to our pagan cultures and societies as America is growing more and more pagan, sadly, but the gospel is more and more effective, isn't it? So you'll enjoy today's final part of Discover Hidden Israel, Part 5. And as we're talking about Jesus' resurrection, which is we're celebrating Easter in just a week and a few days, I would love for you to get some really important resources from us here at In Grace. I would love to send you a video series that was about Jesus' last day. Have you ever wondered what that would be like if you went to Jerusalem and if you went to all the different places he was at on his last day, into his last night, and then the last day of his life as he was being put on a cross? I'm going to take you to Israel. I'm going to take you to Jerusalem on this video series, Jesus' Last Day. You can get this video from us here at In Grace, and only from us here at In Grace, when you call us at 1-800-78-GRACE and ingraceradio.com. When you watch Jesus' Last Day, you will be a lot more educated on what Easter's all about, what the resurrection is all about, because we end this video at the garden tomb, at the empty tomb. And this is something that I think you'll really enjoy. This is for your gift of any amount to In Grace. Your gift of any amount will help people hear the gospel. And that's the most important thing. We also have a beautiful olive wood communion cup from Israel. I love olive wood. I think it's one of the most beautiful woods that ever has grown and people have made things out of. And there's a communion cup really is significant because we can be reminded of that fellowship with Jesus, what he was going to do on the cross after the upper room. And we are told to continue to celebrate and commune with him by the grape juice and by the cracker. And this is something I think you can set somewhere and it'll be a conversation starter where you can tell people that this is from Israel. This olive wood communion cup represents Jesus and what he's done for us and then go into the gospel. That's for your gift of $50 or more. And then when you give us $50 or more, obviously we'll send you the video series, Jesus Last Day as well. And then we have a beautiful canvas print, 16 by 20, of the empty tomb. It's resurrection morning. The colors of the sunrise are painted on the escarpment face where the tomb was carved into the rock. You have Peter and John running to the tomb, and they're discovering the empty tomb. It is one of the most beautiful paintings I've seen, and it was done by an artist here at In Grace. And this is something that's very special. It's for your gift of $200 or more. And when you order the canvas print, you'll also get the communion cup and Jesus' Last Day video. Contact us today.
Just call us, 800-78-GRACE, or go online, ingraceradio.com. You can also write to us at In Grace, P.O. Box 9, Lake Zurich, Illinois, 60047.
I'm very excited to again be joined by the extraordinary archaeologist, Dr. Scott Stripling. I always enjoy getting Scott's perspective as he's the director of the largest archaeological dig in Israel, Shiloh, and the one that discovered the incredible Mount Ebal Curse Tablet. He's the provost of the Bible Seminary near Houston, Texas. And today, I'm interested in what he can tell me about the 10 Greco-Roman cities known as the Decapolis that we read about in the Gospels.
Scott Stripling again on In Grace. We are discovering hidden Israel, and we want to talk about this thing we find out in the Gospels. It's called the Decapolis. So we're going to go see some of the cities of the Decapolis today. Describe some of, what is the Decapolis?
Okay, this is founded in 63 BC when Pompey comes and Jerusalem is reorganized. The entire region is reorganized by Pompey Magnus, who was the greatest Roman general of his era. He forms this 10-city region, and it becomes sort of a Hellenistic or Greco-Roman cultural hub that is sort of a resistance to the Semitic values of the Jewish culture around them. So they're very pagan cities. Yeah. And you're going to see today from Scythopolis and from Hippos, where we're going, the impressive Greco-Roman theaters, the architecture, all those things that they would have encountered as these sort of guys from the backwater in the Galilee, and then right. they come into these incredible cities.
Let's do it.
All right, let's go. Off to the Decapolis.
As we leave Scott's hotel in East Jerusalem and head to our first stop of the day, Scythopolis, I asked Scott about the origin of the Decapolis.
Roman military, you retire after 20 or 25 years. You go in as a young man, you come out, you know, you're in your 40s, early 40s. They take those guys and they colonize with them.
Okay.
Philippi. In New Testament times, there was a Roman colony there, and so it brings stability.
And you've got for the same idea.
Same idea.
But getting
Roman
everyone
values,
thinking the same way.
Imagine a bunch of military guys today who are retired. They're going to be pretty, you know, play by the rules, you know, keep it straight. And like the Philippian jailer very well could have been retired military in the story. So the idea of planting a colony, and then, of course, you are a colony of heaven, that idea, you're being planted to inculcate the surrounding culture with your values.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think the metaphor is this. The reason these stories are in the Bible might just seem insignificant that he sent them out, but he sends us out in the same way. He sends us into pagan culture with the power of the Spirit, so that we can then proclaim and impart the kingdom of God.
And it might seem like more than we can do, especially when we see the culture changing so much and moving away from those things that seem so normal and easy to understand, gender and other things, to like, can I really have an impact today as a Christian? Do we still have that same ability to impact culture like those disciples did?
Yeah, I'm convinced that we do, Jim. I think Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we embrace the Great Commission and when we invite the power of the Spirit to operate through us, then I think we will also see tremendous conversions like this, like they saw at that time.
After driving a little over an hour, we arrive at the modern town of Beth Shan. Under this 21st century Jewish city is an ancient Greco-Roman city, Scythopolis, an important city of the 10 Decapolis cities.
This is the center of the city.
And this city is the center of the Decapolis, so this is a good place to start.
Ground zero. But it looks like the city isn't in great shape. all the columns are fallen, and of course, obviously, they found them in ruins. But they're all facing generally the same direction.
Yeah, big earthquake in 749 AD wipes out all the cities in this region. So if this city is founded in 63 BC by Pompey, it lasts for 800 years until this earthquake wipes it out.
Huh.
In the Greek worldview, it's cyclical. History is determined to repeat itself. In a Hebrew worldview, history is linear. It has a definite beginning and a definite ending. So those two worldviews come into clash when the disciples show up in this metropolis.
Yeah, and that's the big event of Jesus', you know, early ministry, was sending out the disciples. Because before that, weren't they pretty much just Jesus and the disciples? He was doing miracles here and there, but they really spread out from into the Decapolis.
Jim, these people may have seemed that they were more affluent and more happy, But they really weren't. They were disgusted, many of them, with the immorality of the Greco-Roman world, and they saw in Judaism and early Christianity an alternative, another way of living. And so there were many interested. You might think, well, these people, they're just lost, they're pagans. Among them was a hungry population. And you have to remember also that the first century world was suffering from massive sickness. Probably 70% of the population had a malady of some sort. When the disciples come in the power of the Spirit and they're healing people, you think they didn't attract a crowd? They did, because they went back to Jesus and said, wow, you wouldn't believe what happened here.
And this is all in the backdrop of this ancient tell, and that's the Old Testament Beth Shean.
That's Beth Shean. The bodies of Saul and Jonathan are hung from the walls of Beth Shean. It was what a tragic, tragic day. David himself just experienced such grief at that loss.
And then you also talked about Tyche, the god of luck.
Yes.
Things do happen for a reason. And
that's right.
How does a Christian take that?
Roman name Fortuna, Greek name Tyche, Roman name Fortuna, fortune. So you stop at this shrine, you leave a little offering, say a prayer. Why do you need luck if you're a Greek? Well, you might just be going to the Hippodrome that day to place a bet at the races, okay? You might be in business that day hoping that luck or fortune comes your way. A Christian, on the other hand, would be bowing his knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, not to one of these minor Greco-Roman gods. So the concept of luck or randomness guiding our path or a sovereign God guiding our path, those are distinct worldviews.
Yeah, impressive. Now, I've been here a bunch of times, but every time I come here, I'm just in awe.
Well, there's so much to see here. You have to remember that a lot of this was covered, all the buildings were covered with white plaster that was painted, bright colors. So you've got red and purple and green and yellow and all. It's not just white and black like this.
Right,
so
right.
Silk and gold and all kinds of fresco colors, statues standing here, water flowing out of the mouth of a statue. And let's just face it, if you were a pagan, this would be a pretty good place to live.
This is the theater. Is it the theater and an amphitheater? What's the difference?
Well, the theater, you have theatrical performances that go on there. Amphitheater is more of an athletic performance.
Okay.
So they're celebrating here the great Greco-Roman playwrights like Sophocles and Euripides, Aristophanes, and people come during the Dionysus Festival. Dionysus is the god of theater arts and alcohol. So they drink large quantities of alcohol in Dionysus' honor, and they come to the theater. And here on the stage with the skene behind it, they portray a Greco-Roman worldview. Just like the power of movies today to implant a paradigm, that's what they had in the ancient world.
And it was just built right in, into their media, right? Their culture. And do you think, now some people say those types of things, the theater then and now it's, you know, movies or whatever, it is a reflection of the culture? Is it actually something that is changing the culture?
Both.
Yeah.
It's got to be both. If you were a Christian and you came here, you would be in a great contrast, okay?
Yeah.
Because you have drunkenness. That's the whole point of the Dionysus Festival. You honor Dionysus by one of the 12 primary gods by coming to the theater and by consuming alcohol. And so, of course, you can imagine as people drink more and more what it becomes like here. That's why we've got huge latrines behind us also here that you're probably gonna wanna have a look at, because at intermission, everybody's gotta go to the bathroom.
And then how hard would it be to be a Christian in this type of an environment?
Well, that's right. You know, where do you build bridges, you know, for friendship evangelism? Where are you connecting with people? And where do you say, I'm out of here. I'm not any part of that.
And as far as examples of preserved theaters, you know, this is, I would imagine, a pretty good example.
It's a great example. But remember, the disciples were sent into the Decapolis, and this is one of those chief Decapolis cities. Polis is the Greek word for city. So they come into this, and they would have been in this theater. Those Galileans came here. They stood where we're standing. They looked at the awe. And coming from Bethsaida or Capernaum, they must have had a sense of awe, even if they thought it was, you know, despicable in one sense, they had to be in awe in another sense.
So yeah, it's impressive, the architecture of it. Even today, when people come here, when I lead tours to Israel, we always come to Beth Shean. It's impressive, especially to know that this has lasted over 2,000 years.
That's right. You are in a Greco-Roman city here in the heart of ancient Israel.
In honor of Christ's sacrifice and triumph, would you consider giving a gift this Easter? With any gift given to InGrace, you'll receive an emotional video series called Jesus' Last Day as a thank you. When your gift is $50 or more, you'll also receive a communion cup lovingly crafted from olive wood in Bethlehem. Let it serve as a reminder of the love Jesus poured out for us. And for those who can give $200 or more, we offer a glimpse of resurrection's glory, an original artwork canvas print capturing the moment Peter and John saw the empty tomb at sunrise in Israel. It's a symbol of hope rising from despair, a beacon of light in the darkness. Unite with InGrace in spreading the message of love and redemption. To make a difference, call 800-78-GRACE or visit ingraceradio.com. Together, let's transform lives with the power of the gospel.
Around the time of Christ, a man known as Pliny the Elder wrote about the 10 Greek cities surrounding the Galilee region of Israel. The ruin we just finished exploring, Scythopolis, or Bethshan, and the much smaller Hippos, which we will visit next, are the only cities of the Decapolis in modern Israel. The other eight that Pliny mentioned are in today's modern Syria and Jordan. On a previous InGrace series called Discover Hidden Jordan, we checked out Gadara to the east of the Sea of Galilee. And we explored the amazing city of Gerasa. We also visited Philadelphia, smack dab in the middle of modern Amman. All of these cities of the Decapolis were symbols of the culture and strength of ancient Rome. When reading history, it's easy to forget the hundreds of thousands of individuals that lived in these cities. These were people that the disciples lost their lives trying to reach with the gospel of grace, the same message that we are proclaiming today. And now we arrive at a place I've never been to, but have passed dozens of times, Hippos.
This is cool, Scott. All right, like on top of a mountain, this is Hippos?
Hippos susita. Hippos, the Greek word for horse. The Aramaic word was susita, so Hippos
okay. Susita. And that would mean, why would they call this horse?
Well, there's a saddle. When we were driving in, you saw it sort of dips down, okay. And so got the name from that.
The horse's saddle.
Right.
Okay.
And this is one of those Decapolis cities that we were talking about.
And this one's really close to where Jesus would have been doing his early ministry.
I mean, looking down from here, you'd be able to see Capernaum and Bethsaida, for example.
Yeah, so. I mean, I'm looking now directly west. The sun is beginning to set over the Sea of Galilee.
This is gorgeous. You can see why this was a high quality of living here, okay? Yeah. The fresh air.
I love it. I mean, I'm thinking of moving in. Are there accommodations?
There, one right ahead. I can introduce you to the owner up here. See what he'll have for you.
The big thing that the disciples that Jesus sent out to the Decapolis would have for sure been walking on this street.
You are for sure walking in the footsteps of the disciples here, okay? Jesus told them to go into the Decapolis. They went into the Decapolis. They proclaimed the gospel there. They had great results. And they came back greatly encouraged, like, because they were persecuted a lot by the Jewish community. And here they went out among the Gentiles, and there was a receptivity to their message.
I love that history. And I love when you're in Israel, you're really connecting to so many levels and so many layers. This one being the level of the Roman society trying to influence their culture, which was generally godless,
right,
sinful, upon this area. And that's really what's happening today and what's happening in every age. And that's the challenge for Christians, is to influence the culture, to influence those in the culture without being influenced.
This is amazing. Remember the earthquake we talked about at Scythopolis?
Okay.
All right, same thing. Wow. Wipe these guys out too.
All the same.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is, again, another church in here. You can see all the column bases and all the drums. This is a triapsal form.
And the hole in the floor?
The hole in the floor is probably a baptismal font. Yeah. So when the Christians came, they built churches. And more than one at a site like this, perhaps one is destroyed and they build another, or maybe there's denominational differences among them.
That never happens.
But that's life was very nuanced in biblical times. Mm. They don't get the designation as a polis, P-O-L-I-S, like Minneapolis or Annapolis, unless they have certain standards. And so they've got to have drainage and aqueduct for water and entertainment and these types of things. So here on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, it's about 50% Jew, 50% Gentile. They interacted with each other a lot. And these ideas of kind of what's going on in the Galilee, news of Jesus had spread, I'll assure you. And so it wasn't the first that these guys had heard of it. They were probably really interested. Oh, so you're followers of this guy. Tell us about it. I think they would have found a receptivity, like at Mars Hill. They're always interested in the latest idea. The Forum, it leads you down to the theater. When you want to go down to the sea, you can go down and do some fishing, hang out. And then this is the theater.
I don't think I've ever seen one this small.
Right. So this is a small population, let's say 500 people here, with the upper deck, which hasn't survived. Maybe the whole town would be able to fit in here for special occasions. But if not, they're still having theatrical performances here. That Mask of Pan, he's associated with the theater. So these people are also celebrating the Dionysus Festival. You have to have a theater or you can't get that polis designation that they need to be as part of the Decapolis. So you build a nice little theater. But remember the worldview, these theatrical performances are presenting a worldview. Oedipus Rex, for example, you take, what's he writing about? So Oedipus, he kills his father, not knowing that it's his father because he's separated from his family in childhood. He ends up marrying his mother, not knowing that it's his mother. Mm. And so he's dealing with this idea of he can't find redemption. He learns that he's killed a king. And he's had incest in these relations with his mother, and he gouges his eyes out, you know, as a result of this. The fact that he didn't have intention to do any of these things, he's still guilty. There's not a concept of redemption. Now, along come James, all right? And we show up, and that's the worldview these people have, and we start saying, no, haven't you heard of Jesus of Nazareth?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it's very powerful, impactful with the Sea of Galilee, sunset, you know, the mountains around, the breeze blowing. A brand new sight for me, which I'm almost ashamed. I've been here over 20 times leading tours and a new place. But that's Israel. I mean, there are so many places I still haven't been. You're kind of ruining me because now I want to include this on the tour and I don't have time.
Well, add a day.
Yeah, add a day. Really amazing to look at all of these cities, the cities of the Decapolis, and see how Jesus sent his disciples into these places. I believe that means that God loves everybody, not just the Jews, not just the Hellenized Jews, not just the Romans or the pagans, but all of us. We've all gone astray. We've all tried to earn our way when the Bible clearly says that we cannot, we're lost. And therefore we need a savior, one that is willing and able to save us. And fortunately, that's exactly what the Bible says, that we have a savior. He died for our sins. He was perfect, he never sinned, he did great things, but he died for me, he died for you on a cross. That was the message that the disciples were to bring. That's the message that I want to share with you, and that you can be saved from your sins. You can be saved from hell to heaven by simple faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The good news of eternal life is available for you right now.
In honor of Christ's sacrifice and triumph, would you consider giving a gift this Easter? With any gift given to In Grace, you'll receive an emotional video series called Jesus' Last Day as a thank you. When your gift is $50 or more, you'll also receive a communion cup lovingly crafted from olive wood in Bethlehem. Let it serve as a reminder of the love Jesus poured out for us. And for those who can give $200 or more, we offer a glimpse of resurrection's glory. an original artwork canvas print capturing the moment Peter and John saw the empty tomb at sunrise in Israel. It's a symbol of hope rising from despair, a beacon of light in the darkness. Unite with InGrace in spreading the message of love and redemption. To make a difference, call 800-78-GRACE or visit ingraceradio.com. Together, let's transform lives with the power of the gospel. Thank you for joining us on InGrace Radio with Jim Scudder, Jr. InGrace is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Our goal is to share the light of Jesus to a darkening world, helping you find hope, gain purpose, and be a light. You can be that light today by joining our mission to spread the gospel around the world. Just call us, 800-78-GRACE, or go online, ingraceradio.com. You can also write to us at InGrace, P.O. Box 9, Lake Zurich, Illinois, 60047. Tune in next week as we continue to explore God's Word and His world on InGrace Radio.